Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160.
Did we miss all the music?
You know, who knows?
And we're back.
We did miss the end. We're back. So let's do it now.
And we're back.
We're back.
All right. Well,
that's us, very organized, orderly, professional.
We did not rehearse during the break.
That was combobulated, is what that was. Before we go on with the show, this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction and has implemented really cool features to ensure it is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a tech standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for confirmation before considering a Dash transaction to be complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
I have a Dash t-shirt.
I have been using Dash recently because they have a companion app. So they have a wallet, their own wallet, the Dash wallet.
Cool.
And they have a companion app called Dash Direct, which leverages the gift card economy. And so you can exchange your Dash cryptocurrency for a gift card to, like, some chain restaurants or some, I've been using at the Home Depot, right? You know, you need some stuff for your house. Oh, look, I can get a Home Depot card. What I like about it is you don't have to do it online and then, like, wait for a card to be mailed to you or whatever.
You can
actually use Dash Direct at the Home Depot checkout kiosk. It's pretty sweet. So you just tap on the things that say gift card. You can do the self-checkout. Tap on the things that say gift card. It gives you your total. You plug that into the Dash Direct app. It spits out a gift card number. You don't even have to enter the gift card number. You just pick up the little scanner at the home and scan the QR code.
Oh, that's awesome.
Bing, and it spits out a receipt. It's done. It's super fast, too. I was, like, surprised. You could not do that with Bitcoin currently. It's just not that fast. You'd have to wait for the transaction to confirm, 3 to 7 times, depending on the app, right? And then, you know, it's usually 10 minutes, 15 minutes for a Bitcoin transaction to be fully confirmed, enough times for a merchant to consider it settled. So Dash is way faster than that, and the Dash Direct app is pretty cool, man. So anyway, Dash.org. Before we went to break, I said something in the voice of the guy from Creed and or Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam. I said, "My mom's wide open." And why did I say that? Because, well, I heard this song some time ago. It's a parody song. As you all know, I am a parody artist, and so I'm also a fan of parody comedy. This is a man called Christian Valen. This is his parody of a Creed song. I'm just going to play a little bit of it for you here on Free Talk Live.
But there's my mom. She's coming out without her clothes. I start to shout, get back inside. Don't walk around here. But she just laughs. Don't seem to care. My mom's wide open.
All right, that's enough of that.
I think you've shown me that before.
I probably have.
It's a super for radio this time.
It's a super funny.
What a treat.
It's a super funny video, too.
It is funny.
They have, like, this motherly looking lady. They got the black bars, of course, across her top and her bottom section. But she's running around smiling. Her arms are like wide open, like the song says. And Christian Valen, he's dressed up as the singer of Creed and making all the faces. But towards the end of it, he starts making these like chicken-like sounds, like bark, 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 and so that's related to the chicken bit from earlier.
Oh,
which is why this popped into my head. So that's a long way of saying that like the captain's got a mind that sometimes it reminds him of stuff, and he needs to unhear the earworm to get it out of his mind. And so you've all been subjected to that today. Thank you for participating in the captain's earworm relieving section of tonight's show.
Like a Boston road map.
Yeah. Feel free to draw a map of Seattle on your face. Never trust anyone who has heard of Carol King. Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. We've got Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you are on Free Talk Live.
Oh, yeah.
What, are you drowning? What are you doing, snorkeling? Okay. What's going on?
We got a mask for you for snorkeling or scuba diving.
Oh, no, I'm on, by the way.
Yes, you are. You're on the air.
Yeah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, you know what? Have you noticed that? I wanted to say that. You know those, most of the college professors are all socialist communists?
You know, I have noticed.
Yeah, I have noticed.
Yes! So, is it in all of the universities or like the most blue state university?
I would say it's a mix because I went to school in Massachusetts, which is very blue, and I did have some rather conservative professors. I would say it was like an equal mix.
Here's a bit. There's are you guys familiar with David Graeber? If I said any, you know what that is?
I've heard the name.
So Occupy Wall Street, remember that?
Yep, I do.
He is credited with starting that.
Okay.
Right? David Graeber is or was, I guess he's dead now, recently, in the last 5 years or so. He was an anthropologist at the PhD level. He also has a degree in something else I can't remember. But he is credited with starting the Occupy Wall Street movement, the whole like organizing of the people and putting on the different talks that they were given at, you know, in the park and all that kind of stuff. He's credited with starting that. He is an anarchist by his own admission, but he's an ANCOM.
Yeah.
Right? So an anarcho-communist. Now, he also wrote a couple of books and did some really nice talks on money, the history of money. I think his book is called Debt, the First 5,000 Years. And it's a history of, like, money, and, you know, it goes through everything from, like, trading stones, you know, caveman style, up until the Romans and, like, the shaving of the coins and all that kind of stuff. Just a real nice, concise history of how money came to be what it is today. But he was teaching at, I want to say Harvard, but it's one of the hoity universities, and they ousted him for his anarchist views, even though he was a, like, you would think that communists would, you know, sort of, even if you're an anarcho-communist, you would think that that would be in their wheelhouse, and they'd be okay with that guy, but they totally weren't, and in fact, the guy could not get another teaching gig at a university in the United States. He had to go overseas and ended up teaching, I think, in England and Spain. I'm not sure.
I'm surprised they took him.
But he's one of those. He's not like who's the other famous ANCOM guy that all the ANCOMs are always quoting.
Oh, ANCOM. But you know, Howard Zinn, wasn't he a communist? I saw him in his lecture when I was a member.
Noam Chomsky.
That's the guy.
Noam Chomsky's another one that it was so crowded. He was giving a speech. I had to sit out and watch him in the like a telecom in another room.
Yep.
Because all the rooms that he was giving some kind of lecture, but he's a socialist communist that teaches at Harvard, right? But I got to meet Howard Zinn actually in person in the meeting, you know, like in his rooms, and so before he passed away. But I turned.
What did you do?
When I was he was giving a lecture about something about.
I was insinuating that you had something to do with him dying because he died after you met him.
No, he died. He passed away after I came to Albuquerque. He passed away like 3 to 5 years afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Slow burn.
So, but it's like, oh, I met Howard Zinn. I used to see his books all over California. It's like, oh, that's him. I get to actually hear him speak in a speech, you know. But now I'm Chomsky. People have to fill up other rooms and watch him in a telecom.
Now
in
I'm
the
Chomsky.
Video. Yeah. So the thing is, I turned communist when I was in Massachusetts.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait. So, Sarah, if you're a communist, how come you're doing multi-level marketing? That's a capitalist activity.
Well, I mean, I don't see that part of it. I'm environmental. I'm into natural products, and I want people to stay healthy, get over from the illness, and that's the reason I'm involved.
Well, then shouldn't you seize the means of production?
Well, you know, I can't be like nitpicking about everything, but you know, our vitamins helps with diabetes, Parkinson's disease, arthritis, cancer,
and you profit off of that.
Vitamin. Huh?
And you make a profit off of that, right?
Well, I just get loyalty dollars. I don't want to sign people. I have to like sign 8 people up to become a director to get like 7%.
Okay, we're getting sidetracked on your multi-level. So, what about the communists?
Well, I mean, I'm not. Well, what I'm saying is that communism. I'm surprised that as all the professors that are communists, how come there are not any more communists? I can't believe it.
There are everywhere.
Younger generation, there's a lot of communists, which is interesting. Because not too long ago, there was the whole, like, better dead than red thing.
Yeah, I remember growing up with that, man. Yeah.
Do we remember the Soviet Union? Do we remember all of these
red
terrible...
Dawn, man. Red Dawn.
So,
yeah, like,
to be fair, when the better dead than red, right, you could have a normal middle-class lifestyle, right, with a high school education.
And one income.
And one income.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So what has transitioned this generation into, like, communism, right?
It's poverty.
The fact that they can't do that. They're stuck in poverty. And they see the previous generations with all the wealth.
That
like,
is.
I get you, but that's, like, communism is not going to help that. So
right.
It's like, oh, instead of, like, so now you're broke, but, like, some other people are rich. Now everyone's going to be broke.
They're misguided.
Yeah.
But they're misguided with good reason.
The current
I get it.
The current state of affairs in the United States of America is a direct result of socialist and communist policies.
Yeah, I mean, that's what got us here. And that's what it seems like to me.
The 1980s Soviet Union would be jealous AF about how communist and socialist the United States of America is today. The spying that they have, the databases on people, the constant monitoring, the overreaching laws that they have, controlling. I mean, name an area of your life that the government is not involved in. You can't.
But you know what? Russia has a lot of support. Hello? Are you with me?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the secrets that guy spilled was that Egypt has been secretly giving weapons to Russia, along with China giving secretly to Russia. You know, there's a lot of
the United States has given weapons secretly to a whole bunch of people over the course of my life.
Is Egypt our ally, or what? Are they against us? Are they for us? Are they socialists? Are they communists? What are they? Because they're secretly giving weapons. And you know, Saudi Arabia...
Sounds like they're merchants.
Well, they're in the bag with China and Russia and all those alliances siding with Russia, and including Brazil.
Do you think a government is really going to just give a bunch of weapons to some other country and get nothing in return? Do you think that that's how it works, Sarah?
Well, but they support the communist government.
I asked you a question. Do you think that that's how it works?
Well, they probably get something, but they support their communist government.
Do you support their communist government as a communist?
Well, yes, I do. And then so is Brazil. Lula.
Brazil!
Wow, that was a lot.
I hate Brazil.
What he's talking about, that's a leftist country now.
I'm sorry. Hang on, Sarah. Let me clarify. I don't hate Brazil. I hate Brazil's postal system.
Oh.
Why do I
oddly specific.
Why do I hate Brazil's postal system? I used to work for...
I once mailed a letter to myself in Brazil, and I never got there.
I used to work for a company that manufactured a small electronic product. It was a camera. And we would have people from Brazil go to our website and order one and give us an address. We would ship international and give us an address. And I swear almost every camera we sent to Brazil would get held up at their post office. Now, what Brazil would do is charge us, the shipper, a fee, right, when it got there. And then they would also charge the receiver a fee, right? So they're double dipping on the fees. And if the customer didn't come to the post office to pay the fee, the post office just kept their stuff.
Oh.
And so we would get a slew of Brazilian customers who would call, or we'd get new tickets created online or whatever it was, and it'd be like, oh. And so whenever we'd get a ticket or a call, we would holler, Brazil! Because we knew it was going to be a jumble F to figure out how to get these people their cameras.
Well, I don't understand your train of thought here. What does that have to do with socialism and post office? But, you know, Bolsonaro, he was like Donald Trump. He was a right-wing president, and he was chopping down all the trees in the rainforest.
Who's that?
That's you don't get my train of thought?
Bolsonaro.
He's a capitalist. They got rid of him, and we got the communist left-wing Phil of the Alluvia.
You should be thrilled.
Honestly, I don't like the communist versus capitalist, the left versus right argument, because I think they all suck. I think pretty much any president or ruler is just as bad as the last.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't even really matter to me, honestly. It seems like a moot point.
Here's some common ground between the communists and the capitalists. Both of them think that humans are greedy.
Yeah. And they just, their solution for it just happens to be different.
Right.
So.
Sarah?
Well, I mean, I do believe that you have to take from the wealthy and redistribute the wealth, because they're not going to share. Maybe if they get shot at, maybe they'll
Hey, so, Sarah, if somebody came...
Well, maybe if we shoot them, they'll share.
If somebody came to your door and said, hey, Sarah, we're going to take all of your money and leave you with 20% of it, we're going to take the rest of it and redistribute it, would you be okay with that?
Well, I mean, there's nothing for them to take from me, but I'm talking about the billionaires.
No, there is.
Oh, there is. Once.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure you have plenty they could take from you.
Would you be okay with it?
Sarah wants what she has not earned.
Well, you know, I don't mind sharing with other people what I can share, but you know what?
In communism, you don't get to decide what you share. Somebody else gets to decide it, and it's usually the state.
Have you ever read a book on the Soviet Union, Sarah? Or like anybody's story that lived in Russia or like Poland in like the 20th century?
Well, all I know is that the Russian boys are willing to die for communism. I mean, North Korea men over there, I mean, they'll die for communism. They really believe in it.
I just don't know if that's...
So you don't really believe in it, then, do you, Sarah?
I just don't know if that's, like, a good argument.
Well, I mean, Americans go war and die for
I mean, yeah, a lot of people do.
Okay.
It doesn't really mean anything, though, you know? People go and join the military for, like, free college. So it doesn't mean they believe in the American dream. It means they want something out of it.
They want the free stuff they get afterwards.
Well, the Russian soldiers, they think that American soldiers are just mercenaries.
How do you know what Russian soldiers think?
Yeah, I mean, they're not fighting for any kind of bullying.
Sarah, how do you know what Russian soldiers think?
Well, because I saw them, you know, on travel shows and stuff like that, or different shows.
That's not how you know what another person thinks. You don't watch TV and immediately know what other people think. You said Russian soldiers think, and then followed it up. How do you know what Russian soldiers think?
Well, they know that the American people that join the military, they're doing it for money.
Thanks for the call, Sarah. She claims to know what Russian soldiers think. Can't tell us how she gained that
knowledge.
She just
doesn't want to admit that she's a mind reader and she can read their minds from all the way over here.
While we're on the New Mexico topic, let's go to David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Captain's log. Is that the log you talked about earlier?
No, that's what they found. That's what they found in the Starship Enterprise in the toilet. The captain's log.
There you go. Yes, and when you mentioned that earlier, that you were proud of it, when you turned around and looked in the toilet, you were proud. That was the captain's log then, too.
I may have felt pride.
What an odd feeling. I usually just feel relieved.
You expressed it. And
I had broccoli. What can I say?
The American, exactly.
It scratches
by
it on
definition,
the way out.
The American military pretty much are mercenaries.
Sure. Yeah. They get paid to kill people.
Because they're not defending you. They're defending the people that you complain about, the people calling themselves the government. They're not defending the people.
They're defending the empire.
Yeah, the empire. And Graeber, Zinn, and Chomsky.
Yeah, out of those three, I know two, and I only enjoy one.
Yes. And they're all three of the same 2.4% of the general population demographic.
And what demographic is that?
They're Jewish.
Knew it.
Wait, Graeber's Jewish?
And, yeah, yes.
Are you sure?
What is the relevance?
Because, he's an odd-looking dude, but, I'm not aware of his genealogy.
So what's the relevance of them being Jewish?
It's a Jewish communist conspiracy.
Well, the communist movement in Russia becoming the Soviet Union was highly, highly, highly Jewish influenced. And in fact, you probably know a fellow radio talk show host named very successful Michael Wiener.
I don't.
Not personally.
Also, Michael, what an unfortunate Savage. Name.
Michael, yeah, that's why he changed it to Savage. Michael Savage Wiener. Yeah, but he would call Graeber's parents, and he has called Chomsky, and he has called Zinn, quote, red diaper doper babies. And there are hundreds of thousands of them that basically were expelled out of Eastern Europe and ended up in the United States, particularly New York City, and they have been trying to turn the United States communist ever since.
They're doing a fantastic job.
They certainly are.
Yeah, they are. In fact, they're doing so well that the majority of the power positions in the Biden administration right now are red diaper doper babies, if you research them.
That's David saying that the Jews are taking over.
Mm.
Well, the red diaper
had influence.
Doper babies that are Khazarian, they pretend to be Jewish is what I understand. And, I mean, for instance, what is the validity of... whatever people taking the land known as Israel for themselves, what is the legitimacy of that?
There is
What's the legitimacy of, the English taking the land that was occupied by the Indians?
Mike makes right.
Yes. Thank you for the call, David. 603-283-6160. If you'd like to join us, more of your calls and thoughts are coming up, as well as we're going to talk about spending 500 days in a cave. More Free Talk Live is next.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. President Biden is calling for an immediate ceasefire in Sudan after the evacuation of U.S. Embassy personnel and their families from Khartoum. At least one American is among the 400 people killed since rival groups began fighting for control of the African nation 2 weeks ago. A new poll shows a majority of Americans don't want either President Biden or former President Trump to run for the White House in 2024. The NBC News poll finds 70% of those surveyed, including just over half of all Democrats, believe Biden shouldn't run for a second term. One of only two remaining survivors of the sinking of the USS Arizona on December 7, 1941, is gone. The National Park Service says Howard Ken Potts died Friday at the age of 102. The Super Mario Brothers movie won its third straight week at the box office, taking in $58 million. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
There's no music, man.
This is the second time. Oh, you just had our music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Maybe, that's a technical thing.
Maybe they did have the music, and we were just way off.
You know, I mean, all we can do is talk when there's silence.
So, okay.
Blah, blah, blah.
And we're back.
We really need to practice.
Yeah, no, I don't.
We do practice.
Yeah, like every Sunday, like five or six times.
I think this is the most.
I practice at home.
Okay.
I like stand in front of the mirror.
Okay.
Yeah, I've given Nikki the pamphlet on how to rehearse and we're back.
Okay.
Yeah. And she now has a routine that she has incorporated into her daily.
She twirl a baton with it?
I don't think she's worked
no,
up
I
to the
baton. No, I do the honey,
yet.
Though, you know, like the old singer tricks.
I would like to get her with the flaming baton doing it at some point. So we have that to look forward to in the future, hopefully. And I'm sure all of you will hear all about it, because it's hard to hear somebody twirling a flaming baton on the radio.
At the Forkfest Talent Show.
Yeah, I already got my hula hoop routine down, so is next.
I know you have a busy Forkfest.
I do.
But are we going to be able to do the second annual Forkfest mini golf tournament?
Absolutely.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's
the fun. The B guy isn't going to be there this year.
I know.
He actually pinged me earlier in the year, and I was like, dude, are you coming? Because we got to get revenge on you.
I know.
And he's like, yeah, I don't know that I'm going to make it. I'm like, your loss.
Bring your big Bertha putter with you.
Speaking of Forkfest, that's coming up June 15th through the 18th. At Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. This year, ForkFest is before the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is the way it used to be. The last couple of years, it's been sort of the after party. Now it's the pre-funk. So you can join us there. The website is forkfest.party, where you can find links to the Telegram chats and a whole bunch of other stuff there. So hopefully you can come and join us. And I also want to remind people that we are asking you to write some letters on behalf of Ian Freeman, this show's founder, who was recently convicted of various victimless crimes and faces up to 20 years in prison. What you can do is write a letter to the Honorable Joseph LaPlante about Ian's character, how he has helped you, how he's helped your community, why you think he deserves a light sentence, saying things about yourself that give your opinion weight, like if you were in the military or you hold a public office or something along those lines might help give your opinion some weight. And we all know that Ian has always tried to do what he thinks is the right thing. It would be a tragedy if he had to spend any time in prison. You can send your letter to 63 Emerald Street, number 610, Keene, New Hampshire, 03431. If you didn't get to write all that down, that's fine. You can find all the information that you need there at letters.freetalklive.com. Letters.freetalklive.com. Thank you to those who have sent a letter already. And if you've been meaning to and you haven't got around to it, chop, chop, get on it. Time's a-wasting. All right. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
It's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Let's just go to your calls and thoughts. We've got Robert in South Carolina calling. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say that, you know, in the Soviet Union, as well as in the United States, the objective of both societies was basically to keep order and to keep people motivated, because neither side wanted to kill motivation because it was very important to motivation is very important for both societies.
How do you motivate someone under communism?
Very easy. For example, there was one guy they had a problem with because he liked to steal jewelry and anything that he could get of value. So they made him curator of the museum, which had a lot of diamonds and gold in it, and his job was to take care of that stuff. And the thing is, he lived right there at the museum, so he basically had it in his house in a kind of a way. So that was the way that they solved that particular problem.
Do you want to know the real answer? They threaten people and they kill them. That's how you motivate people under communism.
Thank you.
Well, under certain brand of communism. In Germany, we operate under Sozialdemokratie, in other words, democratic socialism, and our conservative...
Yeah, I don't think we want to take motivation lessons from the Germans. Sorry.
Well,
just based on historical track record.
Germany, 70% of Germany's income comes from international business. Only 30% comes from domestic production and creativity. And Germans are eager beavers, yet 70%
they were people
to come from international business. So don't underestimate the Germans. Germans are not people.
No, we weren't underestimating them.
Oh, they engineer some fine mechanical things. Some industrial equipment and that type of thing, for sure.
Don't take the train or anything.
My heritage is German, so, I mean, Germans got some good food. Who doesn't love beer?
It's more than good food. In 2004, Germany launched a spacecraft on a 10-year mission to land on an asteroid coming in from deep space 10 years later in 2014. It didn't land quite properly, but it did land, and it did send back some signals, but the solar panels didn't open properly.
Yeah, but that doesn't beat a delicious bratwurst and some spätzle.
Well, Germans don't eat much bratwurst and spätzle these days. Germans eat vegetarian food that's good for their health, and Germans have created food that...
I don't know. I dated a German guy once, and he didn't eat healthy vegetarian food. He did drink a lot of beer, though.
And Volkswagen even lied on their emissions testing. So
they did.
Yeah.
What I do like about Germany, though, is at the McDonald's, you can order a beer with your value meal.
Really?
Yeah. You can get the number 3 with a pint.
Well, Germany's a pretty amazing place, and Germans tried to be ahead of the game. Germans were far ahead of the game when it came to environmental protection.
Did you have some other point that you were calling about, or were you just cheerleading for the Germans today?
I'm not just cheerleading Germans. America is a pretty amazing place too, when you think about it. I mean, just think of all the things that we've done as a country. So
we,
but you see, yes, America, America too. America, I'm also American. I'm French, German, Swiss, Italian, and Jewish. Therefore, Israeli, if you might want to add that. So I have six countries behind me. Okay, and
they're behind you, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know anybody who doesn't like me, actually.
Germany and Israel have always been back and forth with each other.
But Germany's no exception. Germany's right up there. I mean, everybody in Germany knows what he has to do and does his job and does his work and is very conscientious. You won't find Germans sleeping late. They're up early and they go to bed around 10 o'clock.
I just got done telling you that I'm of German heritage. I sleep in.
It's just really difficult to, like, collect an entire country of people. Like, how many people live in Germany? And we're going to make... Yeah, so you're going to make a blanket statement about every single one of those people?
Well, Mexicans are pretty hardworking, too, you know.
Thank you.
Germans are proud to work until the age of 100. How many, you know, Germans are not slouches by any means.
I don't know. The German guy I dated was a drunk, and he totally didn't want to work.
I don't want to stereotype Germans, but... They drink a lot.
Yeah, sure did.
I'm just saying.
There are exceptions to every rule.
And they've been brainwashed to think it's good to work until they're 100.
Yeah, Germans do. You'll never find Germans proud of being retired or doing nothing.
I'm sure you could.
That myself. I couldn't, really. I mean, I couldn't sit on a beach for a week. You kidding me? I'd go nuts.
Yeah, that's the brainwashing talking.
Okay, well, hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate
it. All of that socialism and communism, right, when you talk to those people, are supposed to give you a more leisure time, right, to do your artsy-fartsy stuff where you're not having to do the hard labor stuff.
Take care of your family. You get your
UBI place, and you can do your paintings and your drawings. But no, you work until you're 100 and proud of it.
The goal of communism is slavery.
Yeah.
That's the end goal. You become their bitch.
But
you do what they say, and if you don't, here come the guns. Right? You only get, you know, whatever rations they're giving out.
The United States.
They've convinced. But
weird, huh?
In his example, they've convinced the Germans that not only is that a good thing, you should be proud of it. Right?
Yeah.
You were enslaved to your 100, and proud that that's your heritage.
No, we. Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm not German.
No, I mean, but it's the collective.
Yeah.
No, there is no I, there is no you, there is no me. There's just us.
Yeah, I don't consider myself, like, even though I'm largely of German heritage, I don't consider myself like a German-American. Right? Okay. That phrase is never, that's the first time it's probably ever come out of my mouth. I don't go, I'm German. I don't, you know, run around and talk about how proud I am that my heritage is German. I don't, like, I used to just say, I'm just American, right? Because America was the melting pot. But
when can we start saying that?
Since I came out of the fog of statism, I realized that I don't want to identify as that either. So now I'm just a human.
Yeah.
Understood. But, like, how old does a country have to be before it gets its own nationality?
Huh. I mean... Not very long, because I think people were referring to themselves as Americans.
Like,
it's so young that people...
Well, when you fill out the census report, if you do that thing, right?
I don't. I run them off my property.
I got it. For people who are listening.
They should also run them off their property.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But there's no checkbox that says, like, you know, nationality American.
American, right.
Yeah, it's just white. Caucasian, right?
Sure. Well, yeah.
Get specific with that? Or are they like a French, German?
People are more apt to do that, right?
I think that the three of us can agree that the state of the world
now... Even Canadians call themselves Canadians, and they're not even a real country.
What's that all about?
Exactly.
I think the three of us can agree that the state of the world is horrific, right? Various states of disarray... Sometimes it's enough to make you want to run away and spend 500 days in a cave.
Oh, nice segue.
I would love to.
Maybe not.
From the Guardian.com, Spanish woman emerges after spending 500 days living alone in a cave. Beatriz Flamini says she endured swarms of flies, read 60 books, and never missed the sunlight.
Only 60 books? In 500 days? Come on, Beatrice.
I mean, she was doing other things.
Yeah. Fighting off the flies.
Exactly.
After spending 500 days alone in a dark cave 70 meters below the Earth's surface, assailed by a plague of flies, and the odd tantalizing vision of roast chicken, most people would be craving a wash and some company. But after emerging from her subterranean lair in southern Spain a little after 9 a.m. on Friday and having a quick checkup with a doctor and a psychologist, Beatriz Flamini, that's Beatriz with a Z, by the way, Beatriz Flamini, was treated instead to a 50-minute press conference in which she endeavored to explain the almost inexplicable.
Couldn't do this in a capitalist society. You'd lose all your stuff, bills wouldn't go paid, wouldn't get that free checkup at the end.
I was expecting to come out and have a shower, she told the room full of reporters. I wasn't expecting there to be so much interest. That was one of Flamini's rare miscalculations. On Saturday, November 20th of 2021, 3 months before Russia invaded Ukraine, the elite sportswoman and extreme mountaineer, I've never heard of extreme mountaineering, entered her Stygian lodgings in the cave outside Granada, determined to learn more about how the human body and mind can deal with extreme solitude and deprivation. Monitored by a team of scientists from the universities of Almeria and Murcia, who kept in touch through special limited messaging technology, i.e. a cell phone, I'm sure, right?
I don't know. What's your signal like deep down in a cave?
Probably not very good.
Yeah, maybe it's maybe they put a tower up, you know, for her to hook into or something. I don't know. But it just says it's special. The 50-year-old athlete from Madrid is now thought to have broken the world record for the longest time a person has spent alone in a cave. Flamini,
what was the previous record?
They don't say because this is poor journalism. It's The Guardian.
Okay. All right.
You brought it.
Doesn't mean I read it all the way through.
Oh, poor co-hosting.
No, I did. I read it.
Okay. All right.
But it does beg the question. I think that was the previous record.
It does.
I didn't do any research beyond it.
Well, we'll have to get our crack team of producers on that. Flamini told the media that she had lost track of the time of day after day 65. Asked how she had succeeded in keeping herself sane for so long, Flamini pointed to her extensive experience and mental preparation, adding, I got on very well with myself. For me, at least, as an elite extreme sportswoman, yes, she had talked to herself, but never out loud. I talk to myself out loud all the time.
That's
don't I?
So
yes, I do.
Annoying.
That's weird, isn't it? Yes, it is. After all, the silence of the cave had to be respected. The key, she added, was consistency. For me, at least, as an elite extreme sportswoman, the most important thing is being very clear and consistent about what you think and what you feel and what you say, she said. It's true that there were some difficult moments, but there were also some very beautiful moments, and I had both, as I lived up to my commitment of living in a cave for 500 days. Flamini said she passed the time calmly and purposefully by reading, writing, drawing, knitting, by enjoying herself, whatever that means.
You know what that means.
By enjoying herself, I was right where I wanted to be, so I dedicated myself to it. Put bluntly, the trick was living in the here and now. I'm cooking. I'm drawing. You have to be focused. If I get distracted, I'll twist my ankle. I'll get hurt. It'll be over, and then they'll have to come and get me out, and I didn't want that. She had managed to keep fit, plow through 60 books, and use two cameras to chronicle her experiences for a forthcoming documentary.
That's cool.
But surely...
And then we'll get Ricky's spinoff, Spanish Cave Girls.
from Pennsylvania.
Have you done the Pennsylvania Spelunker? Come on, baby. You know you want to do the Pennsylvania Spelunker. I'll do a Pennsylvania Spelunker with you.
How interesting would that be if they put, like, a cam in there and she was, like, just a cam chick, like a Big Brother house, but it's just
yeah.
Like...
Yeah. Yeah.
OnlyFans or something.
Right. Doesn't even have to be sexual. Just, you know.
But surely there had to be, some unpalatable moments, times when she was tempted to hit the panic button and head back into the light, right? Flamini thought for a moment and then remembered one particular insect incursion. The flies, she said. There was an invasion of flies. They came in, they laid their larva, and I didn't control it, and so I suddenly ended up enveloped by flies. Enveloped by flies. It wasn't that complicated, but it wasn't healthy, but that's just what it was. While she fell victim to an intense craving for roast chicken with potatoes, the solitude was less of a problem. Before she entered the cave, she told her team that she did not want to be told what was going on outside, even if it involved the loss of a loved one.
Oh, wow. That's hardcore.
That is an extreme sports athlete.
Yeah, she, like, really...
mountaineering.
Yeah. She really wanted to make it to that 500 days.
The people who know me and love me respect that, she said. There's no problem. Flamini sounded ever so slightly irked when recounting how she felt when the moment came to leave the cave. I was sleeping, or at least dozing, when they came down to get me. I thought something had happened. I said, already? No way. I hadn't even finished my book.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I can understand that. I don't want to be woken up from a nap, even if it is to get out of a cave.
Yeah.
I used to fall asleep on the sofa, and then my mother figure would come home from work late, you know, 10:30, 11 p.m., whatever.
Yep.
And she'd wake me up and be like, hey, wake up. It's time to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I was asleep.
Just leave me alone. Throw a blanket or something.
Yeah, like, you know. Yeah, throw a blanket over me. Call it good.
Yeah.
You know? You're going to wake me up for school the next day anyway. Anyway, she was, nor was she dazzled by the daylight of the spring, and it hadn't just been the dark glasses that she wore. I didn't feel anything when I saw the light because, to me, it felt like I'd only just gone in there. So I didn't have that sensation of missing the light and the sun and all that's out there, she said. I'm being honest. I'm not going to lie. Just as revelations and insights were beginning to appear elusive, someone plucked up the courage to ask the question on everyone's mind. What about the toilet arrangements down there in the cave?
The number two part of the cave.
This is a follow-up to our number two story tonight. Flamini, to no one's surprise, by that point was unflappable, explaining that she had left her bodily waste at the collection point every five poos, and a round of applause rang out.
Oh.
So they, like, sent someone down to collect it?
That means they were doing this.
Yeah.
All the whole crowd of reporters and everything were all
really?
Clapping simultaneously.
Oh, so that's what applause is. Because I've been wondering that this whole time. People keep saying it, but I had no clue.
So, okay.
We're here to help, Nick.
Here's the follow-up question. Did she poo at the collection zone, or did she poo elsewhere and then move it to the collection zone?
I mean, that sounds silly. Wouldn't you just poo at the collection zone?
Well, she said after every five poos that she took it to the collection zone, implying that no, she did not.
She goes on to say, there was no other way, as five was my limit. You have to get the waste out. I left my offerings there, as if to the gods, and the gods left me food.
Oh,
that's awesome.
She left her flies. But...
hey, one man's poo is another man's, or another insect's fuel. Never mind. The defiant athlete and pending official confirmation record breaker had appeared baffled by her questioners only once. Why had she looked so happy when she emerged from the cave? How would you feel if you had a dream and you fulfilled it, she replied. Would you come out crying?
Honestly, if I could just chill in a cave for 500 days and just sleep and do whatever I wanted, that'd be awesome.
You should challenge her.
Yeah, I'm going to do 600
days. It's a cave-off.
It's a cave-off. You get you pick your cave, I'll pick my cave.
No, honestly, I don't think I'm mentally stable enough to be in a cave alone for 500 days.
I mean,
absolutely
you're
not.
You're barely stable enough to be on this show.
I know. And that's saying a lot, because there's some crazy mofos on this show.
It's kind of a qualification to be on the show, is that you're a little, you know.
Yeah, so, not quite all there.
Well, you're just a unique individual.
That's nice, that's nice.
You want that?
Yeah.
I am a unique individual. Right. Now that we've sussed that out, I don't know. 500 days? That's
more than a year.
That's more than a year. That's what, a year and a half?
Yeah.
Ish?
No.
Almost.
A little less.
I was told there would be no math.
Okay.
A little less, a little more. I don't know.
You got a calculatron?
17 months.
Okay. All right. So. That's a long time.
Okay.
It's a long time,
Long time. I, like, a lot of people who don't understand the philosophies of freedom, libertarianism, anarchism, that kind of thing.
Just go hide in the cave.
Yeah, they go, why don't you just go live in the woods? And it's like, well, I've already
done that. I moved to New Hampshire. So here I am. Now, it's not as, it is rural, but it's not as rural as, like, it's no Grizzly Adams, right? There's highways, there's gas stations, there's cell phones, there's internet.
Even that, even when they say that, we can find articles of people that have gone off into the woods and then been harassed by park rangers and government.
So it doesn't even matter.
You can't even do that.
Yeah, it's true.
You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to live off grid or in the woods.
Yeah,
they own the woods. You're now on government property.
There are zero pieces of land on planet Earth that are not claimed by government.
I don't think so. Isn't there like international waters? Like land. You can do like
pieces
a...
of land.
Okay, well, I guess.
You're talking about seasteading. Right?
Yeah, like seasteading. Yeah.
Even the one piece of unclaimed land. Some, like, D-bag libertarian went there and claimed it.
No, it's called the Liberland.
Right.
Wait, where is that? What are you talking about?
The Liberland.
You've not heard of Liberland?
No.
Oh.
Sounds stupid, though.
It's like between Czechoslovakia and some place.
It's basically some swampland through and via a, we'll call it a bureaucratic error, right?
Not even an error. Like, each side doesn't want it.
Right.
Until this guy went and claimed it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, you can't claim it.
Right.
We're fighting over that.
It's not that big. No, it's, I mean, New Hampshire might be bigger than
that. They do offer a passport.
Oh, so it's.
It's a real place, yeah.
I mean, that's because, like, I'm thinking not big, like, you know, maybe like an acre.
No,
but
no,
it sounds bigger.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so it's big.
Right, but it was
not like a country, but it's still...
It is a country.
Both countries were like, we don't want that piece of land.
Yeah.
And so he went and said, like, I'll take it. And now they're fighting over it again.
Liberland, also known as the Free Republic of Liberland, is a micronation in southeastern Europe claiming an uninhabited parcel of disputed land on the western bank of the Danube between Croatia and Serbia.
There you go.
It was proclaimed on April 13th, 2015... by the Czech right libertarian politician and activist Vít Jedlička. The official website states that the nation was created in the wake of the ongoing Croatia-Serbia border dispute, and according to Jedlička, the dispute resulted in the plot of land west of the Danube not being claimed by either side. The parcel of land is 7 kilometers, 2.7 square miles in area, roughly the same size of Gibraltar.
See? Even that.
We are out of time. Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you to our producer. Thank you to all of our callers and our listeners for tuning in. If you missed any part of the show, find the archives over at freetalklive.com. Thanks and peace.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.